Ladies and gentlemen, Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans is back and recording on a strange night, but kind of compelled to because people are slapping each other. And we decided, you know, that we would do a little episode and partially in response to that. I mean, we're not going to beat it to death. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know, The View didn't even, you know, stick on the slap for a whole hour. And you know, and some of those people actually know Will and Chris personally. Well, I mean, Chris Rock was my boss for about a year and a half once, but that's
oh, wow,
beside the point. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Anyway, Stephen Van Patten here with the lovely Denise Tapscott.
Hello.
And the not equally, but lovely in his own way, Mark Abbott.
Dashing.
Sure. Ouch. Dashing. Let's go with that. Dashing. The dashing Mark Abbott. Yes. He'd like a martini, shaken, not stirred. Yes. So here we are. And I'm just going to come out with, you know, just my base reaction to the whole thing, and that's, to be honest, I'm kind of sad. You know, it's like I just wish we could restore like a sense of dignity.
Yeah,
you know, I wish we could, you know, as opposed to being performance art for you know, people that actually don't care about us outside of our being a source of entertainment. You know, it's like, I just wish we were better to each other. And I think that's basically, you know, cause I, and to be honest with you, with both of you, and everybody that's listening, this made me anxious during part of the day, just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking about the repercussions. I'm thinking about the repercussions for the two men. I'm thinking about the repercussions for, let's say you're a comedy club owner. Do you now have to beef up security because everybody's going to be on some monkey see, monkey do shit? Like, I don't even know. Like, I want to hope this is, you know, dead. Both men have, you know, by the time of this taping, that both men have issued very public, very contrite apologies. But I don't know. I'm still processing. I'll put it just like that. Denise, you were at an Oscar party, apparently.
A little small one, yeah.
Which is adorable. But you know, it's you, so you do that. You do adorable.
thank you.
So I how did that go? You know, you're sitting there, you're having a little drinky drink, chatting, and then boom.
So at first, we thought it was a joke, until Will was walking back to his seat, and then it was quiet. And I was like, "Oh, they're bleeping it out. This is not a joke." And I could read his lips. I knew what Will was saying, and I was like, "Oh my God, what just happened?" And I had to explain to the people at the party who were not African-American that it wasn't a joke and that technically Chris Rock was kind of out of line and that Will was like way out of line, obviously, for going over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were all distressed, and like, even when Questlove came out to accept his award for Summer of Soul, which I was so happy for, everyone was just so distracted and so stressed, like, oh my God, what happened and what's going to happen, because Will is nominated for Best Actor. So it was really, really stressful until he actually won. And I was like, pray to God that he apologizes, which he did to the Academy and various people. For me, as a Black woman, I didn't think the joke was that funny, because people always want to joke about Black women's hair, and for mm-hmm. Chris Tucker especially to joke about it when he had that documentary about good hair, it's like, dude, that's the one thing you probably should not have joked about. And G.I. Jane, It's an okay movie, but
right. That's like a dad joke because
yeah.
How long ago was fucking G.I. Jane?
Right.
You know, it was the whole thing was just,
and it wasn't a filmy good movie. So the joke already tanked, and then for Will to get that bent out of shape to defend his wife, it's like, oh gosh. But I also think that everyone is still just stressed with the whole COVID thing, that people don't really know how to be themselves anymore. Everyone's just kind of on red alert and stressed and anxious up to here. That's what I think.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad that Will did apologize. I'm really glad that Chris Rock also apologized. That's like, whew. But I'm not sure that the Academy is still going to just let it go. I hope they do.
I'm pretty sure they're not.
Yeah, which sucks, especially if they were not Black, then maybe they might let it go, but because they're Black, to me this makes it even worse for us as Black entertainers. Like, damn it.
It's definitely an issue for as far as Black entertainers go. But I gotta be honest, and so full disclosure to everybody listening, while Denise might have been the only one actually watching the Oscars last night.
Fact.
You know, I don't know if Kirk. Oh, by the way, you know what? I failed to mention. Kirk's not feeling well, which is why he's not joining us. So
feel better, bro. Feel better. You know,
thoughts and prayers. And all that. I'm sure he'll be fine. He probably just needs to, you know, get a Benadryl in him and he'll be all right. Well, he better be. Yeah, I don't know. I just see this becoming a thing. And then, of course, there's the Woodas. There's all the, well, you know, had it been somebody other than somebody half of Will's size, would he have gone up there? You know, and then there's the people that, of course, are cracking on Will because, while he certainly did hit Chris Rock, there are other people probably more deserving of being hit that he did not do so to. I don't know. I honestly think, you know, after seeing all that, I was like, well, I think Will seriously needs a therapist. If he does not already have one, he needs to go post-haste. Mark, how are you feeling after all of this?
Well, I will say that I have, if Chris Rock had any anger, it's been channeled through me all day, because I keep replaying the sequence in my head. Here's the thing. He's a comedian.
Yes.
That's what he's hired to do. Mm-hmm. He's even hosted the Oscars a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little sick and tired of people trying to make it out that he had no business saying what he said. He's a comedian.
Right.
He's going to say things that, is every joke going to be funny? No. There's some people that go to the comedy club and tank like hell. Mm-hmm. That are trying to get into the comedy business think their jokes are funny, and people will sit there and be like,
mm-hmm.
I applaud him for being a consummate professional. Because
no matter what way you look at this, it
could have gone horribly wrong. I just kept replaying in my head, what if he realized what Will had done? And just ran up and kicked him on his way down, walking away.
Right.
Kicked him in the back.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that.
Jumped on him and punched him in the face. Because, I mean, the same thing is, like, you've heard people say, well, you know, Chris is like half his size. I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean he don't know how to fight.
Right.
You know, right. Like, we're all under this assumption that he can't take care of himself. The same thing. I mean, yes. I mean, it's a little more evident now through the apology that he was aware of Jada's situation. But like he said, it's a joke. There are 1,000 ways we could have handled this. If you really felt some in your feelings, you could have literally walked up to me on stage and whispered in my ear or even yelled out like most hecklers do that wasn't funny.
Yeah.
You know,
and addressed it after
and addressed it later.
Yeah.
The media is loving to grow back 6 years to the because they seem to only have that one thing, that 2016 thing that he made the comment about Will getting paid money to be in Wild Wild West because they were boycotting. But that was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, between then and now, there really hasn't been, as far as I heard, there wasn't another joke he made specifically about them. This also goes on to another thing about putting your business in the street. And the thing that annoys me is that a lot of these folks do this because they're trying to garner sympathy. It's not because it's not being made. There's no awareness about any of this. Personally, you and your wife have an open marriage. Keep that to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife can't wrangle her lovers and keep them from running their mouths in the street. Then how you should handle that is like, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
The world knows we have an open relationship. You handle that business. Yeah. Don't drag me in this. You drag your husband on the internet. You make him look like a fool in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling that therapy. But then all of a sudden, you put out your condition and this and the other thing. But then no one's allowed to say anything about it.
Right.
That's not in jest.
Mm-hmm. Especially you're choosing to be in the spotlight.
And that's the thing. It's like you in one, this isn't like somebody jumped your fence and stole stuff out of your house and was putting it out on the internet. Right. You actively, weekly, monthly put this information out. What do you think comedians use for fuel for fire? They use any little bit of those things and they try to turn a humoristic thing on it. What happened last night is a clear indication that there is something wrong with that marriage. There is something broken that is not being addressed and not being fixed. And the unfortunate part for Chris was it had nothing to do with the joke.
This had
to do with the fact that he said something that, and I've seen this happen, and I've been on the receiving end of it a couple of times where somebody, I'll give you a prime example. Years ago, when I worked at Law and Order, the accountant put on the door, checks will be ready between 3 and 4. Do not ask what other time they'll be ready. I come in, I saw the thing, and I saw the girl. I said, oh, so the checks will be ready between 3 and 4. And she starts cussing me out. And I'm like, what is your problem? Because you know why? Half the set has been doing that all morning. Going, what time are the checks going to be ready, Maddie? What time are the checks going to be? So now I'm on the receiving end because you're annoyed. Because I'm sorry, I rewatched that thing. He was laughing his gut off when Chris told that joke about.
He did laugh, yeah.
He was laughing. And I'm like, I don't know what she said to him, or because everybody said, well, you can see the look on her face. But she had to have said something to him to make him get up and walk up on stage and think that that was okay. And I'm like, if this had been the Source Awards, 18 dudes from the back would have run out there, jumped Will, beat him to within an inch of his life, and they would have had to clear the entire place because you decided tonight you wanted to take your aggression out on somebody you knew could not fight back. Because what Chris understood was we're live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're live worldwide. He even looked to the side, was like, are we still, should I continue on?
Yeah.
You know, consummate professional.
I give him credit for that.
Absolutely.
He could have easily stormed off stage.
Mm-hmm.
He could have easily said, I mean, and even to the point where he was like, wow, this is the greatest night of television. You know, even put a hook on it to make people laugh a little bit.
Yeah.
And this morning I saw a guy on CNN said, you know who Will Smith needs to apologize to? Questlove.
Yep.
Yes.
He said he needs to apologize to him.
Because he completely screwed up his moment.
And everyone that came after that, because nobody, he said, even with the memoriam, all people were still doing was talking about how you jumped up on stage and acted out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Chris still keeping it like, hey, I'm not even going to press charges.
Yeah.
Because he could have. He could have. He could
have. He still can. But you know, he still can, actually.
He can, but it's not worth it. Split the
black community right in half.
And yeah. But I honestly, agree. It wouldn't even, what point would it serve? I mean, it's like, this was a beef he had with me. I took my licks. Hey, we don't need to get you arrested. And right. stuff. Like I said, if he was like a petty brother, you know, he would have walked off stage after Quest, but behind Questlove, going straight to a phone. And then at the end of the night, we'd have been like, the cops are outside and they're arresting Will Smith as he's exiting the Kodak Theater. You know, and then.
Well, I think the cops were, I mean, it's the Oscars. There were probably cops already there.
Oh, no.
I think there's some already there.
But I mean, which is why the cops knew the incident happened.
Right.
But I mean, you know, if he was like in his feelings about it and, you know, but Will needs, the Smiths need to keep their business off the internet.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck with that.
They need to, and he needs to figure out what he wants.
Ooh.
Because she's not it. And any person, any spouse that is going to goat you into actually taking physical action again, because in my house, it wouldn't have been me going up there. I'd have been like, no. Oh, okay, never mind. You know, and just sitting there, you know. I mean, she sat there and said nothing.
Yeah.
She sat there and said nothing. He went up and made a fool of himself. Mm-hmm. Chris standing there looking confused as all else, you know. And we all, like my brother and I were talking, we're like, well, you know, Chris going to win because he got a tour coming up with Kevin Hart. So you Kevin know. Hart. Mm-hmm. My brother's like, I want tickets because you know he going. And my brother even said this. He said, you know, he could have gone ham on him. You know, he literally, as a comedian, I mean, think about it. When Jay-Z dissed Nas, Nas didn't go down to the studio and slap him in the face. He put out Ether.
Mm.
That ended that quick. So, I mean, Will could have gone home, gone in his little studio in the basement, caught a little quick track about Chris Rock, threw it up on the internet the next day, and you know, the rest would have been history.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm just one of those people. Like, I don't think Chris needed to publicly apologize for what happened. I think his apology directly to the Smiths is his own decision. You know, it's like, you know, Will, you and I need to have a X, Y, and Z. But again, that's just the kind of, I guess, publicist or agent or whoever was probably like, look,
that's what just I think.
Do a public apology. Mm-hmm. It looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody knows where you went afterwards because we never saw him again.
Right.
You know, and just kind of let the community know. You've calmed down. You're not out there, you know, doing whatever this thing Kanye's doing, threatening people off to the side and everything. But it's sad.
Yeah,
it's sad that. And I'm sorry. You're too old for this. My emotions got the best of me. Come on, you a grown man. If you haven't got your, I could understand you at 15 or 16.
Millionaires in their 50s.
And right.
I can understand that you were a teenager, you know, because we were always like that. You know, somebody knew exactly what needle to push, you know, to get you to get into a fight or something. But you grown. And to say now, oh, you know, I let my emotions get the best of me. Then after that speech that you gave last night claiming that, you know, I'm looking out, I'm trying to protect my family. I'm like, I don't see how that's protecting your family. I don't see how potentially putting yourself in a volatile situation that, again, if Chris had not done what he did.
In my head, Chris Rock pulls a stink meter and drop kicks him off the stairs.
And I mean, let's be clear. If he had done that, that's damage to your face or to your mouth to the point where you may not be, you might be in a movie now. And now they have to stop production because you done got beat up in the face or something ugly happened or petty brother number one over here decides I'm going to have the police arrest you and press charges against you and you spend a night in jail. So, and we're gone from the old Hollywood system. The entire world has seen this.
Yeah.
I don't see where you thought, like in hindsight, you're going to have to explain to me how that's protecting my family. That's literally putting your entire finance and your career in jeopardy.
Right.
And most of these people, when they get to that point, don't survive the drug and alcohol spiral that follows.
Ooh, that's deep.
Wow. So, I just hope I just, at this point, Black people, get some help.
Yeah.
Go see a psychologist, psychiatrist, whoever, go speak to your pastor, whoever you feel like you need to speak to.
Yeah.
And get real about what's going on in your life and stop. You know what? That whole Hollywood facade that you keep putting on, you don't have a happy marriage. Not many people. I don't know anybody with a happy marriage. Marriages have problems. They're flaws. Mm-hmm. You have to work through problems. Stop trying to play this role like the two of y'all don't have that. And because that's what's stressing this. That's what's causing this. Mm-hmm. You know, as my brother said, he made me laugh when he said it. He was like, this is like the scene out of the Five Heartbeats. Every damn night I gotta prove my love. And then you're running across the club. I'm like,
that's exactly what that is.
That's exactly what it was. You're sitting there laughing at the joke, and she got mad because you're laughing. Yeah. Oh, now I gotta get up here and set him straight.
Yeah.
Why? You know, because now you know.
Well, why? Because what did the meme say? Because Tupac would have shot him.
Right.
And I don't really want to, you know what? I want to avoid pretending like we really know the inner workings of that marriage.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's rumors, it's gossip. That's old school Wendy Williams shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, to Mark's point, maybe it is time for, you know, people to start being honest about more than the entanglement.
Yeah.
You know, just take the burden off.
Yeah. And to stop posting it on social media. Like, deal with it in-house. Like, really take care of it.
Well, if those two knew how to handle things in-house, then to Mark's point, he would have just caught Chris Rock backstage and said, look, man, she's got alopecia. I don't really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Could you, you know, and in the 2016, you talking about her career and how she's not invited to the Oscars. look, man, just stop. Okay. I need you to fucking
chill.
And then that's that.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to putting on this show and now, you know, you've got, you know, and I hate to use this as the barometer, but it's like when you turn on the news and some dude has committed some heinous ass crime and you're back to, oh shit, please don't let this person be black. Please
don't, please don't be black. Please don't be black.
And we shouldn't have to carry that with us.
Mm-hmm.
But we do.
We do.
We do. Yeah. And I disagree with us having to carry it, but we do. It's a reflex at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reflex. It's like, oh shit, 8 people? God damn.
Right.
And then, you know, as fucked up as it is, then it's Timothy McVeigh and you're like, oh.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
Because ultimately, which is kind of touches on something Mark said, this shit's going to make it harder for other people.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It just flat out is. And it may actually make shit harder for Will Smith.
Yeah, that's true too.
You know, now there has been muttering about people taking the Oscar away. That's a crazy. I mean, you had fucking Marlon Brando's in, you know, Native American lady.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they ain't take that shit away.
Yeah.
You know, with that being a clear middle finger to the Academy, you know, and a few other folks.
The people have done stuff over the years that.
Exactly.
This is like, Why do we have to set the precedent for this? Because I mean, it's because now, you know, even the news said it this morning. It was like, y'all should have handled it when it happened. And see, it's like everything else. When it happened, somebody should have gone down there and said to Will, listen, you can't sit out here for the rest of the show. We'll take you to the green room in the back and you can watch the rest of the show from there, but we can't have you. We can't do this. I'm reading this thing where it's like, I think Denise sent me this piece from CNN and they're like, oh, we were all scattered all over the place and to scramble to come together. No,
right. Right.
You didn't want to delay the show because you'd have to pay them union people to stay another hour.
Right.
So that's what you didn't want to do. Don't tell me you couldn't delay the show and say, okay, put a pause on this till we figure this out and then we'll continue the show. No, you know, you knew that DePaulo and his people were like, hey man, if I'm not working 1 minute over 9 o'clock, you understand me? And they're like,
And if I do, there's gonna be consequences and repercussions.
You know, Frankie Fingers was not staying till 9:30. He was like, "No, we're done."
Not to mention the fact, you got a bunch of cats back there from the Directors Guild that I have actually happened to be a member of. And once you start hitting overtime in with Directors Guild money,
It's all money. So it wasn't
I'm happy you said that. That's basically anytime I've been on a show and it gets past a certain, I'm like, oh, well, word. Mm-hmm. Right. Especially if you've negotiated within a certain like time frame, like you got the 10-hour rate as opposed to the 8-hour rate or as opposed to the 12-hour rate, and you get to be about 7:55 into the 8-hour rate. And you're like, oh, so you didn't want to sign me up for the 10-hour rate, huh?
Because that would have put off the, and also then that means people are late going to the parties, you know, and those hotels and wherever the venues were, they have a set time and all this other stuff. So there was the extenuating circumstances of why you didn't handle that right there had more to do about the financial burden that you were going to carry more than it was you were concerned that another individual slapped somebody or literally assaulted somebody and millions of people around the globe saw it, not like, you know, 5 dudes on the corner. So,
but and not for nothing, Chris could have demanded that they remove Will.
Yeah.
He totally could have gone backstage. He could have been, like, been like, you know what? What the fuck was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably did.
And he probably did. He probably went back there and was like, is there security in this building? Because I know his agent was on the phone this morning, like, okay, y'all gonna have to explain this. Mm-hmm. My client came down there, did his thing. We don't have a no slap clause in his contract. So somebody better explain why y'all let that happen. And so now I personally, if you're gonna do anything to him, you know, ban him from the Oscars for 5 years.
Mm.
Put a 5-year moratorium and say, hey, bro, for the next 5 years, you can't come.
Whether he's nominated or not.
Whether you're nominated or not, you will not be invited.
They'll mail the shit to you.
You will not be invited back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And go from there. Taking the Oscar, I mean, I don't know what good would that do. The Oscar wasn't based.
First of all, and that sets a bizarre precedent.
And that was already decided weeks ago. That wasn't like, because you know, my wife and I were here talking about that because she was like, after he did it, she goes, do you think they won't give it to him? I was like, the envelopes are in a suitcase.
Yeah.
Those are already decided. Yeah. I said, they know the winner already. So it's not going to change. I said, now, if they tried to do that tricky dicky thing, that would set a whole, you know, somebody finds the envelope and sees that he actually won, but they gave it to somebody else.
Sharpie.
Pencil
someone else's name there.
and the Oscar goes to Jason Momoa. Wait, what? I was
not Aquaman too.
That he shit wrote his name in everything. Yeah. He said he joked. He put his name in every category. So that would be funny.
He did say that. My name's in every category.
Sound editing, yes.
but this is, you know, this is almost like how the government handles stuff. They don't put people in jail or arrest folk for breaking constitutional law and everything. It's like, let's go back and look and see what, if anything, we should do at this point. And it's just basically tell him he can't come back.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You know, he's a member.
He probably wouldn't want to come back anyway.
He's a member of the Academy already. You're getting his money. And, you know, he's got his Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like.
And he went out and partied.
And he partied on, you know.
Yeah. Went out, danced a jiggy with it.
Yeah,
because he's so remorseful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was protecting my family.
I'm going to go dance and then I'll write these apology letters in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean.
So the more basically what you're hearing out of me right now is just me sort of like kind of saying, I don't know. If I feel like remorseful about something, I'm not out getting jiggy with anything.
Right.
I mean, I know everybody handles shit differently.
Yeah. But
I mean, I don't know. I think I know Marcus heard me say this before. But we've lost complete concept. We've lost the grasp of the concept of shame.
Mm.
As a society, we have lost a grasp of that concept. And to me, I hate to say it, the celebrity class is partly responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look at Kim Kardashian.
Ugh.
Now, the whole ridiculous, you got to get up off your ass and work thing, which, you know, she should be tarred and feathered for that.
Yeah.
But all that aside, you got where you are, first of all, because of the family you're born into.
Yeah.
And I mean, other people have already touched on this, so I'll just give the bullet points. Born into this ridiculously affluent family, and then you made a sex tape. Now, here's the thing. If I made, and I'm a guy, okay, and we're supposed to be in this sort of like patriarchy where a guy is supposed to be able to do whatever the fuck, right?
Right.
But see, here's the thing. If I were in a sex tape, my mother would be mortified.
Absolutely.
My mother would be mortified. I might have to put her on some kind of a suicide watch. I'm dead serious. I can't even imagine what kind of shit I would have had to hear behind that. This girl's mother turns a sex tape into a business.
Ugh.
And now all of the daughters, several plastic surgeries later, several black athletes, several, you know, and a bajillion hours of reality TV later, and now Kanye's off the rails, you know, Bruce Jenner is a transgender person for Republicans. Like, that makes any fucking sense. And Amanda Seales has to read him, her, you know, after the fact. You know, and it's like, people see that and they learn to put shame aside. Because, you know, getting money becomes, you know, all of a sudden being able to fucking hang out with Donatella Versace, I guess, becomes a you know, a replacement for dignity. So I feel like that's got a lot to do with it too, just that we're now socialized and conditioned to not be ashamed. Not think of some shit before you do it. Like, you know what? I shouldn't do that. That's going to be some embarrassing shit. Everybody. And to just deal with shit behind closed doors.
Yeah. No remorse.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no, I think you're right.
You know what's crazy about that? Was it about 10, 15 years before Kim was, what's her name? Destroyed her career, that sex tape. Pam and Tommy. Destroyed both. Destroyed her. You know,
didn't really destroy him.
Not well. I mean, he's a singer, so he's you know, you're part of a band, so you know, when we go on tour, you're automatically. You know, nobody's trying to throw you off the tour bus, but for her,
plus the patriarchy,
you couldn't get work.
And exactly, it's also, you know, Tommy's a guy.
He's a guy, so you can get away with it.
Tommy's true.
It's almost suspected. Yeah,
he's in Motley Crue. He's already
he's a rock star. So yeah.
He's already like, you know, doing his thing. And yeah. I'm just trying to make it. Like, not overly vulgar, even though it's not like we have a censor or anything, but I mean, you know, and it's always been the case.
Yeah.
And, like, the second they put that band together, I actually happened to watch that Netflix thing, even though I can't stand Machine Gun Kelly. It's like, it didn't hurt him at all, but
no,
but yeah, sorry, Pam, you're on a fucking NBC show. And you fucked up.
And couldn't transfer over to, because she did do that one movie, Barbed Wire. And then it was sort of like faded
into. And she was on TRL promoting that back in the day.
Yeah. But it's but you're right. I mean, we don't have. And also because there are no longer any ramifications or repercussions for what people do anymore.
Well, there's ramifications for you and me.
Right. And me.
And Denise. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get ramifications. Denise, go out right now. Steal a jar of tomato sauce. She'll be in lockup within an hour. You and me, we'd be sitting at Rikers.
If you live, you might be shot right there on the spot.
That's true.
Yeah,
I mean, look at what
they'll pull the Policeman's Benevolence Association card out of my wallet and call Mike Pagan retired Sergeant Mike Pagan and apologize to him, be like, hey, sorry, we didn't check the wallet before you shot your boy.
Sorry.
You know.
I mean, look what our mayor just did. I mean,
what did he do?
Our mayor got rid of COVID protocols for athletes and entertainers.
Sure did.
Was it just for athletes and entertainers?
Yep.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Because I knew it was a big deal about someone playing a basketball game.
Kyrie Irving.
He can still play basketball. And I was like, okay.
Who didn't
score? Who is scoring the hell out of, you know, over at the Nets. He's just blowing it up right now. But the point of the matter is, you know, and again, going back to something I said earlier, the anti-vaxxers think they've won. The real winner is capitalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm going to pile on to that a little bit, because now that we're drifting away from COVID being lethal.
Right.
What's going to start happening is all this COVID forgiveness, you know, everybody that's got employers that are like, you know, in the government or who local state officials that are, you know, handing out these free COVID tests and all these like, all right, you just stay home, we'll still pay you. And all that shit that's been going on, that shit's about to stop.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's about to stop cold.
Yeah.
And that shit is going to start coming out of your pocket. You want to get tested? Ka-ching. You sick? Oh, well, guess you can't come into work. Guess you can't get paid.
Ka-ching. Or, yeah. Take some Tylenol, come into work anyway.
Or that. And then get everybody fucking sick.
Now I'm wearing my mask.
You know, this is about to get stupid. This is about to get stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And Denise, what did you say was going on in China just before we started the show?
Oh, that Shanghai is going back on lockdown and all the supermarkets are starting to be totally emptied because they're all panic shopping.
Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah. And we're usually, what, 3 or 4 months behind everybody else? I want to know what's going on in Israel right now, because that's usually the indicator of where we're going to be next.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I personally, I still panic shop after that first wave hit, and I go to the grocery store and I have to wait half an hour just to walk into the store to find, I can't even buy rice or refried beans. I have two freezers. They are stocked. My cupboard is stocked. I still order food to go and I still go grocery shopping and I don't need to, but I'm just so panicked about not having food because of the pandemic, which is foolish because I live in the United States of America. I pay my taxes. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But China lockdown. There's something going on.
And nobody's talking about it. I mean,
nobody's talking about it.
And granted, part of that, of course, is we've got the whole Ukraine situation then.
Yeah, there's that too.
And
but it's not like COVID just disappears when there's a war.
No. It's
no, it sure damn sure didn't.
We are we're living in strange times, my friend.
Strange times. Strange times.
It's very much about, because really what all of this is about is even before de Blasio left, it was all about getting city workers back. Well, because privatized companies, you know what they realized? Why am I spending millions of dollars for four floors in a Manhattan building when my people can do just the same amount of work at home? And that money could trickle down so the private companies didn't come back. So who can you force to come back to work? The city workers.
Essential workers,
you know, everybody working ACS and all this, where you can't take things home.
Yeah.
And then you drag them back because then you say, well, you know, the neighborhood bodega and those eateries around the place, they need that money. You know, the lunch crowd isn't there anymore. The after work crowd isn't there.
Meanwhile, if you had affordable housing in those neighborhoods, as opposed to just office buildings and sky rises, then those bodegas would be fine.
Right.
But here's the other interesting thing that we now deal with. It's like, yeah, so not a problem. I'll go back to work, go down, see my guy at the bodega, happy to see me. Let me get a turkey and cheese on a hero, lettuce, tomatoes, you know, salt, pepper, vinegar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. $10. What? Hero's $7. Nah, not anymore. So now how much you paying for a hero a day? $10 a day plus a drink and chain. That's about $11 per day. And you add that up for the week. Because remember now, everything but your paycheck went up.
Right. Yes. Everything but your paycheck.
But your paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that's why, you know, people talk about the inflation and this, that, the other thing, and mm-hmm. how much to put in a car and whatnot. But
yeah,
it's really this has been like the cycle. You know, everything around you goes up, your paycheck stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, because if I'm going to give you a raise, I need a justification, and inflation is not a justification for me to give you a raise. You got to give me something a little bit more than, like, what else are you doing at your job that that we should pay you for? I'm like, arriving,
showing up on time,
I don't know, you know, I when the pandemic was here, I was the only one showing up.
Yeah.
Because you told me I had to come to work. Mm-hmm. You know.
And you told me how to get vaccinated.
There it is.
Yeah.
So
here I am.
Vaccinated and boosted. And in some cases, then I gotta get online and fill out a form with all the little tracking numbers of the vaccine, just so you fucking believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, the mayor is like, yeah, you guys don't need to. You do, especially if you got a jump shot.
So, but, and that's the thing. It's like, but you know who you haven't told can do that? Teachers. Certain people that, you know, we haven't taken the masks off the trains in the subway, although I don't think I will take my mask off in the subway anymore. I think that's the one place when everything is lifted, I'm going to still be wearing that underground and be like, mm-hmm. Because y'all, every one of y'all, some nasty moon.
That's right.
I'm not. The air I've had to breathe down here. And it's like, and like now what's happening is that they told the kids that they don't want to, the kids don't have to wear masks in school. They're getting sick. Hold on. Not from COVID, the cold,
right.
Yeah. Flu, right. All the stuff that they didn't get sick from for 2 years. And then they're doing exactly what children do. They're giving it to us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting at home like, I don't think I got the COVID. I don't know what this is. I'm like, it's called it's the common cold. That's what it's called.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Oh man.
Oh, I tell you.
Yeah, because other shit is still out there.
It's still mm-hmm. there. It's still mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
So. Man. A couple of months ago, I had a cold and I was hotter than fish grease. I was like, why am I sneezing? Why am I congested? I've been wearing my mask. I've been washing my hands. It's a cold. It happens. I was mad.
Kids at my school, Mr. Abbott. My teacher, Hassler! Oh, come on, man. It's like,
where's the Lysol?
I don't know how you do that, Mark. I really don't. If I had to, seriously, and I visited you at work, I've had that lovely experience. But that was before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So trust, I will be visiting you anytime soon. And if I do, I'll be wearing one of those hazmat suits. You'll be thinking I'm there to kidnap ET or some shit.
Where is Mark?
I'm not even. Exactly. Exactly.
Say, What the hell are you wearing?
I find your lack of habit disturbing.
What was that? Back to the Future. I am Darth Vader from the planet Vulcan. That's like, what?
You know what? Not for nothing. They need to do like a remake of Back to the Future. But like real dark and just like, you know, everything's cool for the white characters, and then the black ones are like, yo, can we get the fuck out of here now? I'd like to get the, but I'm about to play some rock and roll and they don't know it's Chuck Berry. They just, they'll think it's my man. They almost swung me from a tree. We gotta go.
Get your ass back in that car. We're going to get 80 miles an hour.
That's interesting because there's only been a couple of shows, time travel shows, where that has actually been addressed. Like the NBC show Timeless.
I like that show. Mm.
The brother was like, how far back are we going? Because, yeah. And then there was a Doctor Who one with David Tennant when they went back to Shakespearean England. And homegirl with him was like, I don't know about this. He goes, why? She goes, I'm brown. And he goes,
Miss Jones. Yeah.
And he was like, and your point is what? She's like, it's like, and I'm like, oh yeah, he doesn't know that, you know, it's like, he'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Time Lord must be nice.
Exactly.
Someone asked me the other day if I could go back in time, where would I go? And I was like, I wouldn't go back that far. Unless I could go with an invisibility suit. You know, I would love to see like Frank Sinatra perform in Vegas with the Rat Pack, but I couldn't walk through that front door. I couldn't sit at a table.
But then, yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. You would have to be dating Sammy just to,
Right. You know. To get through the back door to sit on the side? I'm good, bro.
And shit, Sammy like white girls. So,
right. So I'm still not even in. I'm his long lost sister? Ugh. Come on, man.
Said, right. If you could travel back in time, where would you go? Last week, Tuesday. That's about as safe as I can go before things get a little bit hectic for me. Right.
I got to be honest. I'd be tempted to go back to maybe junior high school or high school and straighten out a couple of these little motherfuckers that were fucking me back in the day. Oh, wow.
But then petty. You would be the spicy man that you are today.
Yeah.
That's awfully sly of you there, Denise.
Thank you.
Okay.
Actually, if I could go back in time. I'd go back for a very specific reason. I'd go back and find a house that's for sale and buy it. So that when I get back to this point, it's still mine.
You'd have the deed, right?
You'd have the deed and everything. I'm like, I bought this house for $2,100
in 1971.
Yeah. And y'all ain't gonna tell me nothing. And it's like, although, you know what? Knowing how time is, it's like, yeah, that's the thing. According to this, you haven't paid taxes on this house since you bought it in 1971. I'll be right back.
I would buy stock in like Coca-Cola or something way back.
Oh, I think that's the answer. Yes. Yeah. IBM, yeah. Baby.
Yeah.
Or Apple. Or yeah. Something like that. Oh my God.
That's what I would have done.
Oh my God.
Well, what's his name was giving stock away in Apple when he first started? Bill Gates.
Man. Wow.
Was it stock? No, it wasn't stock. He was giving them something. I forgot what it was called, but they had an opportunity to buy into the company.
The employees.
And he said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a few of them did. And of course, you know, when they retired,
I keep waiting to strike oil with this $40 worth of Bitcoin I picked up. So we'll see what I keep you motherfuckers posted.
That would be the ultimate Back to the Future story. It's like, I'm like, so Steven, I'm going back and I'm going to go buy this house down the street. All right, good luck. And then I disappear and then Steven's phone rings and he goes, you Steven Van Patten? Yeah, we're from the Internal Revenue Service. Also with the DEA and the Federal Bureau of Investigations, we have a Mark Abbott in our custody. says you're his emergency contact. The hell did he do?
Oh my god.
It's like, hey man, listen. I'm sorry. You got to get me the hell up out of here.
Just call Denise. She'll take care of it. Call Denise. Call Denise.
I don't know how anybody's going to help you pass Matt Murdock. I mean, Jesus Christ. unless you slip teenage me a note, go be a lawyer. What? No, like, seriously, I need you to grow up to be a tax lawyer instead of whatever the fuck else you might be thinking right now.
Excuse me, you Steven Van Patten? Yes. You don't know me, but in about 25 years, you're going to meet a guy that looks just like me. Befriend him. Get cool with him. He is your new he will be your client. Well, I don't want to be a lawyer. No, because that would be what happens. It's like, It's like Steven would be like, but I don't want to be a lawyer. I was like, well, I don't know what other plans you had. Well, you know, I wanted to play the harp for the New York Philharmonic. I don't care if you have the harp.
I've been practicing in the garage. It's like,
the harp? What are you talking about? Yeah. I thought you wanted to go into TV. TV? No, man.
It's like, it's all about the music. It's all about the music.
It's funny that you guys fucking came up with that, because I was actually doing music. Like, I did trumpet in junior high. And then in high school, I was in like high school tail into college. I was actually had, you know, playing the electric bass a little bit.
Oh, okay. Wow. I played the piano.
But I'm like massively out of practice now.
Yeah. Oh, you a flautist?
A flautist, yes.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. I still have my flute.
And I sang. We could have had a band.
We could have had a band.
Technically, we still could.
True. Steven has to go to law school now.
But yeah, now I got to go to law school. And then we got to get a GoFundMe going for Kirk. all his various ailments.
But it has a lovely house. Lovely house.
Yeah. Too bad it's haunted. That would be funny too. You come back from the past and the fucking house is haunted.
She's like, you told me you wanted me. No, that's not what I said. Damn it. I gotta go back. I gotta go back again. The
hell is, I just got here. Damn it.
It's like, damn it. All right. Well, you know what? As much as this has been exciting and everything. We're at the end of our broadcast here.
Kisses.
I know. But listen, folks. I don't know. Somewhere between comedy, shame, and dignity is a good place to be. So I don't know. Just be more kind and understanding to each other, all right? Yeah. Give that a shot. Why don't you? This has been Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. When we come back, I don't know, in a couple of weeks or so, hopefully Kirk Johnson will manage to pull himself together.
Yeah.
And we will be a happening foursome once again. Thank you for listening. We are out of here. And peace.